All right. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to read from verse 1 through 9. And as you know, we've been talking about being a blessing to those around us. The sermon series at this current season has been blessed to be a blessing. And we talked about how both of these components are important. We need to know and recognize and remember and experience, encounter how much we've been blessed. That we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Right? That's huge. Right? That we've been blessed by God. That we have been, as we heard even today and last Sunday, that all of us here, if you follow Christ, you have been brought from death to life, from darkness to light. That's our story. And part of being a Christian then is to remember this, to share this, talk about this all the time with one another so that the gospel of grace becomes more real to us. So that's part one. But we talked about how we don't stay there, right? Our life is not about accumulating more blessings after another. That's not our life. No, our life is to be a conduit where God's blessing flows through us collectively so that other people might come to know Christ and experience this grace that we've experienced. So it captures our Christian life as a whole. So we talked about how we want to bless our family members, how we want to bless our friends, and today we want to talk about how do we bless our communities or our neighbors, our world, this place, DMV, how do we bless people around us or this region? So that's what we want to talk about. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. Says, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and Queen Mother and eunuchs and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa and son of Shaphan and Jeremiah and son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. All right, we'll pause there. This is God's word. So here's the context of the passage. So in Israel's history, Nebuchadnezzar comes and he captures Jerusalem, Judah, and takes people from that nation to his own kingdom, Babylon. And it's in that context God uses prophet Jeremiah to speak into those who are in exile in Babylon. In Psalm 137, verse 1 through 4, it talks about like their condition. This is what it says. Besides the river of Babylon, so these are Jews, it says, besides the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. As we thought about Jerusalem, we put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? So the psalmist is writing about how the Jews are in captivity in Babylon. And they're weeping there because they're homesick. They long to go back to Jerusalem. And there's this agony and anguish as they long for what was and long for God's deliverance for them. So you might ask, well, how does this apply to us? I think it's very relevant because in the New Testament, the Bible calls Christians, you and I, exiles. right? We're aliens in this world. Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about how our citizenship, Christians, our citizenship is not here, right? Our citizenship is in heaven. So the question then is, how do we relate to the world around us? And this passage, I think, helps us. So I'm going to talk about the wrong ways that we relate to our world, and then God's way from this passage, way that we ought to relate to our world, the world around us. So number one, wrong ways to relate to our communities. There are two things, right? One, the first wrong way is to assimilate. In other words, we become fully part of the world around us. We embrace the values of the world. We love the things that people love here. So we live for things like money and pleasure and sex and success. And that's assimilating, that we're becoming part of this world's values. And Scripture tells us that's not us. That's not who we are. The book of Daniel, it takes place during this time. King Nebuchadnezzar comes to Jerusalem, and he comes to Jerusalem three times. Initially, he comes, and he takes, the book of Daniel says, the youth of nobility, meaning future leaders. King Nebuchadnezzar takes the future leaders, and then he places them in Babylon. He comes back, and then he takes the royal family. He takes the professionals, the elites, and that's what we have here in verse 2. It says, this was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother and the eunuchs and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. So the second time, Nebuchadnezzar takes these professionals, the royal family, and have them in Jerusalem. The third time he comes, he takes almost everyone else except for the poorest of the poor. And why does he do this? Well, his method was to assimilate people into Babylon culture. So initially, he brings people like Daniel and his friends, future leaders of a nation, and he brings them to Babylon. And what does he do? He doesn't oppress them. He doesn't persecute them. No, he gives them rich food. He allows them to live in his palace. They get the best of education, because what he wants to accomplish is he wants the future leaders of these conquered nations to embrace Babylonian ways of life completely and fully. And it works. The Babylonian empire becomes powerful, ruling many nations. But if you read the book of Daniel, what happens? Daniel resolves not to assimilate with king's edict, right? He refrains from eating certain kind of food. And so first wrong way is to assimilate, that we live in this world and we become like the world. And that's not what the Scripture says, and that's what God desires for us. But the second wrong way is, so if you think, okay, we're not supposed to assimilate, then maybe we need to separate ourselves from the world, right? But that's not God's way either, because if you, in verse 8, it says this, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to them or listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. So God is saying through prophet Jeremiah, he says, don't listen to these false prophets who are with you. And if you read chapter 8, this is what the false prophets said. They said, just wait 2 years and God will come and judge Babylon and you will be free. Meaning, just stay away, right? Separate yourself from this evil kingdom and just wait it out. In 2 years, God is going to come and judge this nation and you will be delivered. The second wrong way to view the world around us is to totally separate ourselves from the world, right? Isolation. That's not what God desires. So what does God desire here? Not assimilation and not separation, but God has something else for God's people. Look at verse 4 with me if you have your Bibles open. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it is in its welfare you will find your welfare." I just want to point out four things briefly. One, God says, know that I have sent you there. In verse 1, it says that it was Nebuchadnezzar who took Jews and placed them in Babylon. But in verse 4, God says, no. God says, thus says the Lord of the hosts, God of Israel, to all the exile whom I have sent into exile. And again, verse 7, it repeats, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. So on the one hand, it was King Nebuchadnezzar who took the Jews and placed them in Babylon. But in the other hand, it was God who sent them. It was God who sent them. And this is really important that as we think about our context as exiles in this world, in some sense, the place that you're living, you bought your homes in your neighborhood, yes, but God also sent you there. The workplace that you're, the job that you have now, you applied and they accepted you, and yes, but God sent you there. I think about our church here at Marshall High School. In some sense, we, about 8 years ago, we called around and we found this place. But God has us here. On the one hand, so Christians, wherever you might be, it was your desire to live in a certain place, do a certain kind of work. But on the other hand, it was God who sent you there. You're there for a particular reason and purpose from God. God sent you to that school. God sent you to that company. God sent you to that neighborhood. God sent you there. As God's people, we are His agents, right? God sends us to wherever you might be living at this time or working. God sent you there. That's number one. Number two, God here says, be present. Not assimilation, not isolation. But Christian, I think the right terminology is being faithfully present wherever God has you. Stay there, be there fully, totally. What Jeremiah told, said to the Jews here, it would have been shocking, right? Because God tells the Jews to settle down in Babylon. Live amongst the people who persecuted them, who destroyed their home. Babylon would have been filled with idols, false gods. But God says, God doesn't say, stay away, right? Stay away from them or don't associate with them. No, that's not what God says. God says, build houses, like settle down. What happens when you become a owner of a house from a renter, right? It's kind of like you buy a house and you kind of, in your mind, you've settled down. And that's what God says here. Don't just wait until God comes and deliver you. No, the prophet Jeremiah is saying, no, don't, you don't know when that's going to happen. Actually, it takes 70 years. They're in Babylon for 70 years. God says, no, build houses, plant vineyards, have a family, grow, multiply, and allow your sons and daughters to marry. I mean, he's saying be present. Don't be present. And this is exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus looked at his, at that time, feeble disciples, and he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And think about these images. Think about light. I mean, light is totally useless during daytime. You don't take flashlights around when it's bright outside. No, you take it. You use it when it's completely dark. But the imagery is Christians ought to be surrounded by darkness. Like God has placed you there to be light. The same, I think about salt. Salt is useless. Two things, right? One, it's useless if it remains like on its own. Like it has to make contact with whatever it wants to influence for it to be effective, right? Second, a way that salt becomes useless is when it loses its saltiness. So in order for Christians to be useful, we need to make contact with whatever place or work or neighborhood that we're living in. We're not called to, separate. We're not called to assimilate. We're called to be present. So be present in your neighborhoods. Be present in your schools. Be present in your workplace. Be present in your soccer teams and softball teams and baseball teams, in your activities. Be fully present. We're not called to, again, stand away from people. No, that's basically salt being useless for God's kingdom. No, we're supposed to be in the midst of whatever we're trying to influence. Be present. Faithfully be present. That's our call. Number three, seek the welfare of the city. Verse 7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word that welfare in the NIV translation, it says peace and prosperity. So it says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you. Peace and prosperity. In the Hebrew, that's just one word, shalom. Shalom is like flourishing in every way, like physically, spiritually, economically, in every way. What God is saying here is bring my shalom to Babylon, right? Make Babylon flourish, not in its evil ways, but allow it to flourish in knowing God's peace, God's shalom. And that's the call. And it's the word seek there, it has a sense of being intentional, right? Seek, meaning be intentional about like flourishing, causing flourishment to happen in Babylon. I think a simple way for us to say this is bless people or regions around you. Like bless them. That's your call. That's our call. We're called to bless Tyson's Corner. We're called to bless your neighborhood, Vienna and Burke, yes. Yes, wherever God has you, your call is to bless that area. I recently was talking with a police officer who was stationed in McLean, so about 5 minutes from here, and I asked her, what are some needs that you see or you sense in this area? Because on a surface level, I mean, this area is pretty well off. Like, we don't naturally see just needs that people have here. And so she said a couple things. One, she said there are a lot of people. They get calls. A lot of people who are depressed, struggling with mental, emotional health, people feeling isolated. So that's one. And then I was talking with someone here at Marshall High School who works here. And so I asked him, I said, hey, you know, what are some needs here, you know, in your community, like students and people around Marshall High School? And he said, you know, on the surface, it seems like everyone's well off, but there are actually pockets of places here that students actually get food, like weekly. They come to, I think they have a classroom or a station where they come weekly and grab bags of food to take home. It was really helpful for me to see and hear that. What would it look like for us to bless Tyson's Corner? What would that look like to bless this region? Because that's God's call for us. I'm not going to give an answer, and we're not going to talk about that too much, but we are intentionally thinking about that because we know that God sent us here. God sent us here for His reason. He wants us to be present here, to bless this area, bless Tyson's Corner, bless Pentagon City, and bless your neighborhoods as well as you live there. What would that look like? We're thinking about that, praying through that, and hopefully we could roll out some things this coming year. But that's what that we've been thinking and praying about that. But that's God's call. It says, seek peace and prosperity of the city, shalom, the city. God wants this area to prosper, not in evil ways, but in the shalom of God. Lastly, and we're done, it's at the very end there, verse 7 says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord in its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Lastly, pray. Now, this seems like it's a kind of last, towards the end, kind of add on, but I think this is really significant because isn't it easy for us to pray for people that we love? People that we care for, we're praying for our friends, or family members, you know, parents, kids, and we're praying for them because it naturally happens because we care for them. It's harder to pray for people who that you don't particularly care for. I think about the Jews here. God's telling them, calling them to pray for Babylon. Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. Surely the Jews felt anger, perhaps hatred towards Babylon. But God here says, pray for them. Why would He do that? It's because it's through prayer our hearts grow in love. It's awfully hard to despise someone if you're praying for them daily. As our hearts open, some of us think, oh, yeah, I lack love. I don't know how to love people. I don't feel anything. Let me just encourage you. Set aside a time and daily pray for that person for about 5 minutes every day for 30 days. Your heart will be opened. And so what God here is saying is love Babylon. Pray for them. Be for them. Love them. Because that's where it starts. If you recall the acronym BLESS, when we kind of started this sermon series off, we talked about, how do we do this? And we talked about B, the letter B stands for begin with prayer. And I think that's true because as you pray for people or this region, your heart begins to open up and you begin to sense God's heart for this area, for this region. Then we're not just living a life that's isolated in some kind of, I don't know, bubble. We're not also assimilating into this culture. No, we're faithfully being present, having sense of God's heart for this world, this area, Tyson's Corner. God's placed us here. The call is to be present, faithfully, representing who Christ is, loving, serving people around us. That's our call. We're blessed to be a blessing. And apart from that, your Christian life, you'll stifle. You will lack sense of joy. Because you're supposed to receive the blessing of God and allow it to flow through you. Lastly, as we close, just I heard this story. There was a mission. There was a survey done, a research done based on two missionary teams that were sent to Thailand. One team went there to just solely convert people, right? Save souls, they said. The other team went, and their motto was just, let's just bless people as they come. After 2 years, the group that went to bless people, whoever they were, they blessed people, made a tremendous difference in that community. They saw flourishment. And on top of that, they saw 48 people come to know Christ. On the other hand, this team that went to just solely convert people or save souls, they only saw one person come to Christ. I think our call, friends, is to bless this area. Pray for this area. Love this area. Serve this area so that God's shalom can be displayed through His church. I believe that God placed us here for His purpose, for His glory. Yeah, let's be a church that not only gathers well and worships well and sings well, but loves and serves our communities well. So I thought today, let's just bow our heads. I'm just going to pray together, and obviously blessing Tysons or blessing DMV doesn't, it's not just us, right? So I thought maybe we could just pray for just God's people here, that we together might be agents of blessings in Tysons and DMV. So let me just say a prayer, and then afterwards we'll sing a couple of songs as we close with communion. Dear God, our hearts are open and we want to be used by you. And we pray for our church. Thank you 8 years ago that you sent us here to Marshall High School. We thank you 20 years ago you started this church at Pentagon City. Lord, we want to be faithfully be present, displaying your shalom to this world around us. We want to be light. We want to be salt. So we pray, God, that you would capture our imagination with things of you, that we will not get sidetracked by our own desires or our own self-centered, small goals in life. No, we pray that you would give us your heart, your vision, your eyes to see people around us. You've sent us here. Fill us with yourself so that we might be present here, being your hand, your feet, your mouthpiece. Help us to love you, love others. We pray for churches like McLean Bible and Arlington Community, Grace Community, Open Door, Christ-Centered, New City, District Church. We pray for these churches and many more. Your people, we pray, God, that you would help us to be your people, your ambassadors. You've sent us here, God. And so, Lord, use us. Use your people in this region to display your glory. Amen.